Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 33 to close at 17,912. It's a record high close for the Dow Industrials. Whenever the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, we have a celebration here at the Money Radio Megaplex. Money Radio staff gathers in the control rooms. Yeah, howdy, howdy. There's the gang, looking dapper and fit. Doreen is passing out candles. We do reuse the candles, yes we do. Lavender-scented candles, they are reused on a regular basis here lately. Doreen, Ashley, Chris, Randy, Kevin Marcus, Big Bad John, and Pam joining us today. Everybody is lighting their candle. Some lighting candles from other people's candles. Suddenly, the control room starts to glow. Normally, the control room is kind of a low-lit jazz kind of affair. But with the candles, you can actually see in there. And, I didn't know that was there. That thing in the corner. I don't know what it is. Anyway, if everybody's candles are lit, we will begin the procession. We've been doing this for a long time. It's tradition that goes back to the 1990s when we used to have a lot of record highs in the Dow Industrials. Then there was a long stretch where we just didn't have any record highs for, so long. But what we do is the staff will go ahead and start the procession. There they go, marching out of the control room, down the hallway, to the Money Radio Bistro, also known as the Break Room, where they will celebrate with milk and cookies. I don't know what kind of cookies we have down there today. I know we got something, but I don't know what they are. Enjoy. Enjoy while you can. The record highs could be over any day. We never know until after the fact. So, load up. Dow Industrials up 33 at 17,912, a record high. S&P 500 up 7 at 2,074, a record high. NASDAQ Composite up 18 at 4,774. That's still not a record. We still have a ways to go. I mean, we're looking at, 14, 15 years now. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 1 basis point at 2.29%. Oil up 49 cents at $67.37 per barrel. Gold up $11.60 at $1,211.10 per ounce. Silver down 4 cents at $16.52. Well, about 2 weeks before the Federal Reserve FOMC meets to determine monetary policy, they gather together reports from across the nation on how the economy is doing. The Fed then binds those reports in a beige folder, and it's what we call the beige book. As the name would imply, the beige book is not always a page-turner, but it can provide some useful information as well as an indicator of what the Fed policymakers are thinking. And then there's the occasional surprise nugget of information. Beige book was released today, and it shows the U.S. economy holding up well despite global slowing. Economic activity continued to expand in October and November, with lower gasoline prices boosting consumer spending. Despite a sharp drop in crude oil prices, drilling activity in shale production districts remained steady. Oil and gas exploration activity decreased in North Dakota and increased in Montana relative to a month earlier. Production remained at record levels. Lower oil prices have some oil companies concerned and closely monitoring prices, which are close to many firms' break-even price. Employment gains were widespread. Better conditions in the labor market meant more employers were struggling to retain key workers, as well as fill job openings in sectors such as information technology, engineering, legal and health services, also manufacturing and transportation. Inflation remains tame, thanks in part to lower gas prices, and also because a stronger job market has not yet pushed inflation higher. Oil was a dominant theme in this edition of the Beige Book. It got more mentions than any other word. Contrary to the Fed's outlook for domestic oil producers, Reuters reports a drop of almost 40% in new well permits issued across the U.S. in November. Just a reminder that about 20% of the high-yield or junk bond market involves the energy sector, and fully a third of the capital expenditure among S&P 500 companies can be traced to the energy sector. The Beige Book takeaway is that the economy isn't seeing much response to the falling price of oil right now, but everyone is on the lookout for a big impact. The Institute for Supply Management said its services index rose to 59.3 last month from 57.1 in October, and just below the post-recession high of 59.6 hit in August. A reading above 50 indicates expansion in economic activity. Two out of the 10 components of the survey, employment and imports, fell from October, but all were above the 50 level. Payroll processing firm ADP provides their own survey of the labor market each month just before the government's monthly jobs report. That comes out on Friday. Today, ADP estimates the economy added 208,000 private sector jobs in November. The number was just a little below expectations. Services dominated the picture with 176,000 new jobs compared to 32,000 in goods producing. And small business continues to be the biggest job creators, adding 101,000 jobs last month compared to medium-sized businesses, which added 65,000 jobs. Both the ADP and the government report on payrolls have risen more than 200,000 in at least 7 of the past 8 months. Now, these are not blockbuster numbers, but they are solid growth numbers. Friday's job report is expected to come in around 230,000 net new jobs. The ADP report today does not change that estimate. However, it is important to realize that the estimates for November are all over the board, and one reason is because of seasonal adjustments to the number. And the guess is that the seasonal adjustment in October was a bit harsh. Also, there's a tendency over the past few years for the Labor Department to make pretty big upward revisions in November. Also, we've seen some strong economic data recently. The Institute for Supply Management's survey of manufacturing and services firms in November, consistent with GDP growth north of 5%. TrimTab's investment research, after analyzing income tax deposits from workers subject to withholding, estimates 306,000 jobs were created. Jobless claims, a proxy for layoffs, were low in the weeks companies were surveyed. I'm just saying, you want to stay tuned Friday for the results. Meanwhile, the Labor Department reported today revisions to third quarter productivity. Productivity grew at a revised 2.3% annual pace instead of 2% from the beginning of July through the end of September. The increase in output of goods and services was raised to 4.9% from 4.4%. Hours worked revised up by a smaller amount to 2.5% from 2.3%. Unit labor costs, meanwhile, fell 1%. Instead of rising 0.3%, and labor costs for the second quarter revised to show a 3.7% decline, a much larger decline than the previously reported 0.5% drop. The amount of compensation employees received per hour of work rose in the third quarter after declining in the spring, but the increase was small, 1.3% before inflation is taken into account. That's down from an initial estimate of 2.3%. Adjusted for inflation, compensation up just 0.2%. Now let's break that down. The report means workers are more productive, but they aren't being rewarded for producing more. This slow growth in wages is holding back the recovery. If you want to know why most people don't feel like the recovery is strong, it's because their own paychecks are anemic, despite their hard work. It seems to me the best way to push wages higher is to have more jobs. That would help push wages for everyone a bit higher. And the best welfare program is a job at a living wage. There is no better anti-poverty program than jobs for those who want to work. Offering a job is a hand up, not a hand out. Working promotes community. It allows for shared prosperity. We all benefit when everyone works. And it's consistent with American values. We have a half century of experience with handouts instead of hand-ups. Handouts do little to reduce poverty, and inequality is worse. Elsewhere in the news, Honda announced a nationwide airbag recall in the U.S. Honda has already recalled 3.5 million cars with Takata airbags. Now they're expanding the recall to all 50 states, despite a parts shortage, so in other words, call first. News out of Ukraine that does not involve Russia. The country's energy minister said there was a short circuit at a 1,000-megawatt nuclear power plant, the largest in Europe. They reported rolling blackouts throughout the country. The problem is not with the nuclear reactors. Still, the Russian ruble continues its meltdown. About a month ago, the Russian central bank said it would stop intervening to prop up the ruble, except in emergency situations. Yesterday and today, they intervened. The dollar hit a five-year high. The euro dropped to a 27-month low against the dollar. This would be consistent with the European Central Bank taking stimulative measures to boost growth and fend off deflation. Maybe some bond buying will be announced when they meet tomorrow. Hackers who knocked Sony Pictures Entertainment computer systems offline last week used tools very similar to those used last year to attack South Korean television stations and ATMs. South Korean publicly blamed the 2013 attacks on North Korea. The FBI issued a private warning to companies to be on the lookout for a certain type of destructive malware that can basically wipe out hard drives. Tomorrow morning, 7:05 a.m. Eastern Time, the Orion spacecraft scheduled to be launched by NASA from Cape Canaveral. This Orion test vehicle won't be carrying a crew. The flight is meant only to check out the spacecraft systems for the first time in space. A full-featured version of the spacecraft scheduled to send astronauts beyond Earth orbit in 2021 for the first time since the Apollo 17 moonshot back in 1972. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And if you would like to read along, the daily blog is eatthebankers.com. Audio there as well, eatthebankers.com.